Do you like movies? Then Netflix is the place for you. Would you like to support this podcast? Use the red stamp-shaped Netflix affiliate banner link in the show notes at truckertompodcast.com for a free trial and instantly begin streaming movies right to your computer or TV set-top box. Tango Tango Papa 1386, July 31st, 2010.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from home. Let's see. It's been a couple of, I guess this is 2 days at least. There were 2 days where there was no podcast. I was, I was up in the Omaha Council Bluffs area. And to make a long story short, ended up waiting, you know, I got rid of the ConAgra load, and then I had to wait till the next day, and I picked a load up in Omaha, and then that load was going to Russellville, Arkansas, so I picked that up. Let me see, that would have been Thursday, and so Thursday morning, and then so I late Thursday afternoon, I decided I would just stop by home. So I spent last night here at home, and then this morning I got up early, went to bed early, got up early, and drove on down and delivered the load to Russellville. And then after I got there, I had to wait 2 hours for this other driver to bring an empty trailer, because ConAgra down there didn't have any empty trailers. They were all loaded, and so waited a couple of hours. And then that driver got there, and I guess it was around 11:30 or so. And so I went ahead after I picked, you know, I got the empty trailer from him. I went ahead, and there's a truck wash there, so I went ahead and got the trailer washed out. Which fortunately, that, you know, that just took a few minutes, as opposed to having to wait in line. It was a pretty quick process. So then I headed on home. So I guess it was around, 2:30, somewhere in that vicinity when I made it home. So after that, I went ahead and, you know, I had those Dish Network receivers still, and I needed to get those sent back in. Dish Network did send some boxes, some packing material, to send those back with, and so I packaged those up, and in the process I called Dish Network to kind of confirm everything, because they had sent an email listing three receivers. You know, the original Dish Network receiver I had was Dish 301 system. It was a standard definition DVR. And I had that for a while, and then it something went haywire with it. It quit working, and then that's when I upgraded to the HD DVR basically, and then this other receiver, or somehow in the process. But in any case, there may have been the other receiver first. But so in any case, you know, I called them, and she said, "No, you know, I don't. You don't need to send in the original one, because I don't have it. I think the guy, one of the people, they took it whenever, the guy brought the HD DVR. I'm pretty sure he took that with him, because I looked, you know, I kind of looked through my stuff and I couldn't find it. So she said all I needed was a 2. Then she was telling me, well, we'd also like to have the LNB. You know, the LNB is the thing that goes on, you know, this out in front of the dish. And, you know, that picks up the signal from the dish. And so I was able to kind of talk her out of that, you know, because it would be kind of a pain in the rear. She, at first she said you had to have it, and then she said, well, if it's too much trouble, call us back, and I can take that off. And I said, well, can you go ahead and do that right now while I have you on the phone? Because, you know, it's going to be a pain in the rear to climb up on the roof. And so she said she put a note in there, and so I sent, you know, packaged up the 2 receivers that I had, the HD DVR, and then there was another HD receiver that was not a DVR. Packaged those up, then took them to town to the UPS store, and sent them off. And so hopefully that's taken care of. But then after that, I went to the Best Buy store, and I really spent some time kind of looking around, looking at, you know, kind of going through a lot of the store, just sort of looking at stuff. Didn't really see anything that excited me all that much. And so, you know, next I went to Walmart and looked a little bit and didn't buy anything there. And so after that, I came on home, and I've been, you know, spent the evening at home basically here. My parents, of course, are around. So, hung out, you know, they hung out over here a little bit, and, then, I also watched, a movie that I got from Netflix, and I'm going to play the trailer for it here in a bit. It's the name of it. It's Rabbit Proof Fence. Now that's kind of a weird name for a movie, but, it's a pretty interesting movie, kind of a sad movie, actually. And so I'm going to play the trailer for that in just a bit. Now last night, as I say, I went to bed early. You know, I was kind of really feeling tired. And so, you know, because I had to get up early yesterday morning so I could go pick that load up. And, you know, so I did get some sleep yet, you know, yesterday evening I did get some sleep, but then didn't get a whole lot. And then so by the time, you know, last night came, I was feeling kind of tired, so I just went ahead and went to bed. And then ended up waking up I don't know, so I guess about 15 minutes before the alarm went off. And so I went ahead and got up and kind of got around, and it was probably, I think it was about 7 o'clock when I was actually leaving town in the truck. You know, it was about 7 o'clock. And so, but in any case, tonight I'm kind of feeling tired again, so I think I probably need to just kind of catch up on my sleep. But, so anyway, as I say, I watched this movie. It's called Rabbit Proof Fence. So let me go ahead and play the, trailer for that. And, then when I come back, I'll talk about the movie. So here's the trailer.
Every Aboriginal born in this state comes under my control. These children, the half-castes, what is to happen to them? They cannot be left as they are. Our task is to take them from their primitive world and teach them right from wrong.
Come for the 3 girls, Maud!
Come bring up the black mask here!
The Moore River Native Settlement. Hundreds of half-caste children have been gathered up
Let no one guy here.
To be given the benefit of everything our culture has to offer.
You'll get used to it.
It's Molly, isn't it? I know it all feels very strange, but after a few days you'll feel quite at home.
Come on, get your things. We gotta go now.
Where are we going?
We're going home to Mother.
How are we gonna get there?
Walk, come on.
Tracker followed them to this riverbank.
I've lost the tracks in the water about a week ago. There's been no sign of them since.
How far does riverfront go to?
Goes all the way to the sea down that way. Right to the top of Australia.
They're on the fence. They're following the rabbit-proof fence.
Now you put your man out here on the fence.
We can't miss them.
We must find them before they get into the real desert country.
Really clever, that girl. She wants to go home.
I can assure you that my men have better things to do than chase your charges all around the country.
You can sleep with me tonight. I'll get you some food.
The problem of half-castes is not simply going to go away. If it is not dealt with now, it will fester for years to come.
Face an uphill battle if they would only understand what we are trying to do for them.
Okay, so there was the trailer for this is a 2002 Australian film, Rabbit Proof Fence. And I was kind of, while it was playing, I was sort of looking through the Wikipedia article on it. They've got, you know, on this film, and ostensibly this is, you know, it's kind of based on a true story, but of these little girls that were kind of, you know, they were sort of taken from, you know, they were basically half white and half Aborigine, and they were basically taken in, you know, to this school somewhere, you know, like 1,500 miles away. So, you know, now looking through this Wikipedia entry on the film, apparently, you know, there's some criticism. You know, they're saying, for one thing, the portrayal of Neville, that's the guy, that the white guy that's in charge of the this program to kind of to remove the half white, half Aboriginal kids from, you know, the you know, from the Aboriginal areas, and, you know, kind of put them in these boarding schools. They're saying that, you know, that it really wasn't quite accurate. Obviously, they took a lot of dramatic license with it, and, you know, made the thing as dramatic as possible. But you know, other than that, it's and I'm sure it kind of stirred things up. You know, you know, whenever, you know, maybe Irk, I know Irk's probably listening, maybe Irk could kind of chime in and fill in some of the details, you know, about this. But this, you know, there was historically a, you know, they call it, where was it at here? True story concerning author's mother, mixed race Aboriginal girls. Where did I see that at? Well, anyway, I think it's called Stolen Generation. So let me click on that. Stolen Generation, let's see, is a term used to describe children of Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander descent who were removed from their families by the Australian federal and state government agencies and church missions under acts in the respective parliaments. The removals occurred in the period between approximately 1869 and 1969, although in some places children were still being taken in the 1970s. The extent of the removal of children and the reasoning behind the removal are contested. Documentary evidence, such as newspaper articles and reports to parliamentary committees, suggest a range of rationales. Motivations evident include child protection, beliefs that given their catastrophic population decline after white contact that black people would die out, a fear of something or other by full-blooded Aboriginal people, a desire to attain white racial purity. Terms such as stolen were used in the context of taking children from their families. The Hon P. McGarry, a member of Parliament of New South Wales, objected to the Aborigines Protection Amending Act 1915, which then enabled the Aborigines Protection Board to remove Aboriginal children from their parents without having to establish that they were in any way neglected or mistreated. McCrary described the policy as stealing the child away from its parents. In 1924, the Adelaide Sun, an article, stated, "The word stole may sound a bit far-fetched, but by the time we have told the story of the heartbroken Aboriginal mother, we are sure the word will not be considered out of place." Indigenous Australians in most jurisdictions were protected effectively, being wards of the state. The protection was done through each jurisdiction's Aboriginal Protection Board in Victoria and Western Australia. These boards were also responsible for applying what were known as half-caste acts. The more recent usage was Peter Rees' 1981 publication, The Stolen Generations, The Removal of Aboriginal Children in New South Wales, 1883 to 1969. The 1997 publication of Bringing Them Home, Report of the National Inquiry into the Separation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children from Their Families, brought broader awareness of the stolen generations. The acceptance of the term in Australia is illustrated by the 13 February 2008 formal apology to the stolen generations, led by Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, who passed by both houses of Parliament of Australia. Previous apologies had been offered by state and territory governments in the period of 1997 to 2001. However, there remains opposition to acceptance of the validity of the term stolen generations. This was illustrated by the former Prime Minister John Howard refusing to apologize, and the then Minister for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs, John Herron, controversially disputing the usage in April 2000. Others who dispute the validity of the term include Peter Howson, Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, 1971 to 1972, Keith Windschuttle, and Andrew Bolt. Others argued against these critics, responding to Windschuttle and Bolt in particular. Let's see, so then it goes on about the emergence of the child removal policy. The policy in practice, social impact on members of the stolen generations, historical debates over the stolen generations, genocide debate, public awareness and recognition, stances on the proposed apology, apology text, opposition leader, parliamentary reply and reaction, Senate consideration, legal status and compensation. So, I would say that the movie probably kind of stirred things up a little bit, no doubt. And again, maybe Eric can kind of chime in on sort of what the current politics about this are. Because, now the film, if you watch the film, they make it... they're sort of portraying it as, the state is just kind of cruel and heartless and, portrayed by this guy, that's head of this, whatever this agency is. you know, the state's just cruel and heartless, and they're going to take these girls, and it doesn't matter, you know, they're just going to take them anyway. And, you know, it's kind of amazing what government, you know, government can do all kinds of things. You know, the government's got the power. The government kind of has the power of the law. And they can do some really damaging things sometimes. And, you know, we can look at something like that today. You know, that continued up until 1970, you know, according to this film, at least 69, according to this article. That's not that long ago. And to think that that happened clear up until, you know, till 1970, you know, it's just amazing to think that. And we can look at something like that today and think, my God, you know, that's really cruel and really barbaric almost to, you know, take kids away from parents that, and they weren't necessarily in any danger. Now, of course, today, we take, you know, at least in the United States, and I'm sure it's happening in Australia and everywhere else in Western culture, you have these child protective services, you know, and the child protective services come in and take the kids away from the parents. You know, they decide those parents aren't raising those kids right, or they're abusing them or whatever, then they take those kids and put them in foster homes. And, you know, that's... you know, probably a whole nother can of worms. But I don't know. In any case, it's an interesting film, it's kind of engaging. Enjoyed watching it. And so, you know, it's from 2002. I remember when it came out, they were talking about it. And of course, I think I may have seen the trailers for it. I don't remember. But I know that they talked about it. And so it's, you know, if you come across it or, you happen to have a Netflix account, then by all means, check it out. It's, you know, I enjoyed watching it. So anyway, I can't remember if I was talking about, you know, that my Android phone, the HTC Evo, I've had a little bit of instability problem. I don't know if I talked about this in a podcast or not, but I've had, it's rebooted a few times, especially if the Wi-Fi hotspot feature was engaged. One time it rebooted while I was actually talking on it. So I have this program, and again, I don't know if I talked about this in a podcast or not, but I've got this program called, that, you know, I already had installed, called Advanced Killer Pro. And, so what I did, I just went in, you know, opened that up, and it lists all the processes that are running. And so I just went through there, and I decided, you know, well, I don't need this one, I don't need that one, you know, I can just kill these processes. And some of them, you know, I was kind of surprised, because some of them are from programs that I don't even use. I haven't even ever opened them, but yet they're kind of running, and I think a lot of them are from Sprint. You know, like the Sprint, you know, there's a different Sprint, NASCAR, Sprint this, Sprint that. And I'm not using those, you know, so there's really no reason that they're running, that they should be running. So I kind of went through this list and just, you know, it's, this little program's kind of neat, because you just click on it and it's got a little light bulb. And if the light bulb's lit up, it means the process is running. But if you click on it, and it turns the light bulb out, so, the light bulb's no longer yellow. It just changes to white, and you got the outline of a black outline of a light bulb. That kills the process. And so I went through and got rid of all the unnecessary processes. And the phone has been very stable since then. It's been, 3 or 4 days now since I last rebooted the phone. And it's just working perfectly. So... you know, now in all fairness, there is an update available for it, but I'm kind of reluctant to install that update because, you know, initially whenever, you know, after the phone's got, you know, people got the phone in their hands, the HTC Evo, in their hands. HTC and Sprint rolled out an update for it. And initially there were quite a few reports of that update screwing people's phones up, you know, bricking it. And I don't know if, you know, and so HTC kind of, you know, put out a new update. And, you know, so I didn't, you know, so ever since then, once in a while it'll pop up and it'll say, there's an update available. Do you want to get it? And I keep telling it no. So I don't know. At this point, I'm kind of reluctant to do anything with it because what if the update screws the phone up? It just totally screws it up and I can't do anything with it. What then? You know, because the Sprint dealers don't have any HTC Evos in stock. Those things are still in very short supply. And so I'm really reluctant to mess it up. You know, now probably the update would work fine. You know, the update that HTC is putting out now is probably fine. But so I'm just a little leery of doing that. The thing's working fine, especially after I just kill the applications that I don't need, those processes. The thing is just that, you know, the Android now is just absolutely super stable, no problem at all. So I don't know. So I, you know, I'll just wait and see what happens with that. I may go ahead and do it while I'm here. I don't know. I may call Sprint and that kind of ask somebody for some advice. Maybe, I don't know. But other than that, I really enjoy the phone. It's cool. The HTC Evo is a pretty cool gadget. You know, it's really, really quite a neat phone. So anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this short. As you can probably tell, I'm a little bit tired. And so I think I'm going to see if I can get this thing uploaded and get headed to bed and see if I can catch up on my sleep. In any case, hope everyone has a great weekend. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.